Listen to this podcast for an update on the roster. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski. Welcome back to the Roster Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, September 8th here at Gillette Stadium, and we have Brian Lowe, Paul Perullo, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart. They're breaking down the Patriots roster as they prepare for the Bills game on Sunday.
Well, the Patriots roster has dwindled now to 54 players, not 53, because Deion Branch still counts on that 53/4-man roster. The Patriots making all their roster moves, many cuts, and a few acquisitions as well since we last came to you last Friday. And just to highlight a couple of the key players who were cut as the roster got cut down, Monty Beisel, Chad Brown, Eric Warfield, Dan Klecko, who had been with the Patriots for some time, two draft picks from this year, Jeremy Mincy and Dan Stevenson. And any surprises that you guys saw in terms of the cuts once it all got down to it last Friday and Saturday?
I'm not really surprised with the cuts. I'm surprised that nobody's picked up these guys. Like Beisel and Warfield. I don't believe Warfield's been picked up, right?
No, Klecko and Gus Scott Klecko are the only one. And Jeremy Mincy as well.
49ers. But Beisel and Warfield, they have experience in the NFL. You think some team somewhere along the line would at least pick them up, give them a try, but no one's touched them.
Is the key for the Patriots next offseason to not take a Kansas City Chief?
I think that's a pretty good idea. Maybe that's why the Chiefs rank 31st in defense every year.
Absolutely. And what also happened over the course of last weekend is the acquisition of two wide receivers, Doug Gabriel in a trade from Oakland, Jonathan Smith off waivers from Buffalo. As we're talking about wide receiver, we're not going to get into the whole Deion Branch saga, but clearly it hasn't improved, and there's little reason to think that Branch is going to be making an impact anytime very soon for this team. Chad Jackson also coming back to practice yesterday. He had only practiced three times during all of training camp, and that was very early on. Where do we see the wide receiver position right now as we're heading into this game against Buffalo? Anybody?
Undermanned. Andy, undermanned. You have nothing you can count on other than Troy Brown, and at his age, you never really know what you can count on from him. I mean, it's good to see Chad Jackson get out there, obviously, but you can't expect him to step in 4 days later and be lead your team to victory or anything. He may have the physical skills. I just don't know that he's in the offense enough right now. And then these other guys that you're bringing off the street for their crash course, quote-unquote, Doug Gabriel, he's an Andre Davis type, a big play kind of guy. You trade a fifth-round pick for him.
Very similar circumstances to Andre Davis last year.
But is he a guy you want to come in and say, you know what, Tom Brady's going to lead this team to victory by throwing to Doug Gabriel? I don't think so.
Well,
so you really have to turn
now,
the page.
Too.
You really have to me, and I know we've talked about it, you got to look away from wide receiver. I don't think you count on wide receiver to lead you to victory. You got to start really thinking, as Brady said, about his go-to guy being a Watson or being a Falk out of the backfield. Maybe it's some dink and dunk to Troy Brown, but to me, this offense just doesn't have what it needs to have right now on the outside.
And luckily, they're playing a team that they probably won't need that in Buffalo. But I agree with Andy. I think you're a little bit limited right now, and Bill didn't really want to talk about this during the press conference when Andy asked it, but I think they're a little bit limited of what they can do and what you can legitimately game plan into your wide receivers right now, because it's unfair, and this is not a knock on anybody's talent, but it's unfair to expect Gabriel and Smith and Chad Jackson to be a big part of what you're going to do on Sunday. I'm not expecting Chad Jackson to even be in uniform, to be honest with you, but I just think it's a little bit unrealistic to expect those guys to do much more than, you know, you might get a big play out of Gabriel, but he's not going to be a huge part of the game plan. That's a different thing. You might get an Andre Davis 60-yard touchdown like you did last year, but to go out there and ask him to catch, you know, 12 balls and convert a bunch of first downs, I don't think that's going to happen.
And the one interesting thing is it may actually, I mean, this week you're going against a team that one of their defensive strengths is cornerback. Mm-hmm. You probably don't really care because you assume no matter who you line up at wide receiver, he's not going to be good enough. So you're almost negating one of their strengths because you don't say, well, you know what, Nate Clements is going to come out and take Deion Branch out of the game plan. You don't have a Deion Branch, so you don't have to worry about some guy getting taken out of the game plan.
And the one thing about Gabriel is he's a guy I've really liked physically over the years, but there's been reports coming out of Oakland that when they gave him the bigger role to take on, he wasn't quite up to it. He didn't quite, you know, take in everything. And, you know, seeing that the offensive coordinator for the Patriots wasn't the governor or the mayor of Idaho for the past 30 years, I'm going to say this is a more complex offense to run. So that's a concern that he's going to be able to come in and pick it up right away.
Now, one of the interesting things with all the transactions, and we're still talking about wide receiver here, is Bam Childress. It seemed like he was close to a lock to make the roster, and he, when we look at who the Patriots do have a wide receiver, he has almost the second or third most experience within the Patriots system of anyone on the wide receiver roster. surprised that he didn't make that roster. He ended up being cut when they signed Jonathan Smith. He's back to the practice squad. Where do you see him? And do you think he could have made made an impact even this week at wide receiver?
I don't think he could have made an impact. I think he got caught up in the rule change that allows a third year on the practice squad. It allows you to have an extra player in the system on the practice field that on any day you can make a transaction, sign him to the active roster if you want. So I just think Billy Yates is another guy. Just kind of got caught up.
Billy
in
Yates really got caught up in that loophole because it's his third year.
Right,
Childress is second. But I agree with Andy. My bottom line, I guess I'm just not as high on Bam Childress as a lot of Patriots fans. I don't think the guy's in. I think he's a great kid. I think he works hard. I think he maximizes his ability. I don't think he's an NFL caliber receiver.
He wasn't even really a college.
He wasn't even a Big Ten caliber receiver.
Teddy Bruschi back to practice on Thursday. As we're coming to you right now, we are minutes away from actually going out to practice for this Friday. We'll see if he's out there again and if he's doing any more or doing any less. Do you see him in the lineup on Sunday? Do you see him being able to play? Clearly, if he does play, it's with a cast. And if you saw him at practice yesterday, it's a substantial cast. It's quite noticeable with the words "bear down" on it. Where do you see Bruschi fitting in as soon as Sunday?
I don't think he's going to play, and I got a stupid theory behind it.
Please share it. Please.
Willis McGahee is a big-time running back, and when you're playing with one arm, trying to bring him down is going to be difficult.
Well, true. When you're playing with one arm, probably against any NFL running back, can't be.
But my stupid theory
is going to pound
McGahee. The Jets don't really have – they have like six running backs there. So I feel they're going to wait one more week, and then he's going to start against the Jets, probably not playing in this game against
and
the
Bills.
And
we saw firsthand last year against Jacksonville when Peterson had the cast on. Yeah. What a limited guy with a cast on at linebacker can do. He can't wrap up like he normally would, and it can affect you.
Yeah, I smell smoke screen here, B-Lo. I think having him out there, it's good to get him practicing, get him more acclimated, and also give Buffalo another thing to worry about over the course of Thursday, Friday, and the course of the weekend. I don't think he's going to play, but I'm not going to be stunned if he's out there. I have nothing to base that on, just a gut feeling.
And if Bruschi doesn't play, what we most likely see in terms of linebackers, Vrabel and Seau on the inside, Colvin and Bantakana on the outside, I think that's really the direction they're going in. And if Bruschi's not active for this game, then you've got the likes of Eric Alexander, Pierre Woods as your top backups, in addition to the Larry Izzo's, Don Davis guys that play special teams.
If Bruschi does play, if this isn't a smokescreen, I would say you'd have a rotation with Seau and Bruschi, two guys who, for different reasons, might not be ready to play a full game. You might benefit from that.
Right. I want to talk also real quick about special teams. Three players have gone on IR this year. I think four, including Matt Shelton. But three of them are guys who were signed or acquired this past offseason primarily for special teams. Mel Mitchell, Tabucky Jones, Barry Gardner as well. The Patriots are playing a team that is perennially one of the top special teams units in Buffalo. Great at kickoff returns, great at punt returns. The impact of these guys going on IR, what do you make of that, especially for this game against Buffalo?
I'm especially concerned because I think you see early in the season, every year, you see some returns, big-time returns on special teams, and I think it's just an indication that there's a lot of young guys playing their first games that are generally involved in special teams.
Will be the Sean Mayer of
the game. I was going to say, Sean Mayer.
Sean Mayer.
And they haven't played
a lot.
Did he get back on the plane after that game in Buffalo, or did they wait until the next day?
They told him walk.
And they just haven't played a lot together. They haven't had time to gel. I talked to Larry Izzo about it a little bit, and he just says that it's one of those things that you're always worried when you're playing a team as big, as good as Buffalo is in terms of their return games. But, yeah, he thought there was a little something extra to that early season fear. You remember a couple of years ago, Chad Morton returned two kicks against Buffalo, in the season opening week. I'll guarantee there's at least one kick return for a touchdown and one punt return for a touchdown on Sunday. Not in the Patriots game, just saying in general. There'll be at least one of each, always is in the first week.
And they're really going to need like a young guy to step up in the special teams and kind of get ready to take that role over for Izzo and Davis in the next coming years. Maybe a guy like Oliver Hoyt, who made the Dallas Cowboys final roster as an undrafted free agent, like someone like that, but only on the Patriots.
They have
and
those
who would
guys.
That be?
They have Mike Wright. They have James Sanders.
Right.
Eric Alexander, not as young, but
James
young
Sanders,
guys
from what
looking
we're hearing.
To contribute.
Yeah.
James Sanders, from what we're hearing, guys, we're hearing a lot of good stuff about him. He could be one of those guys that becomes a special teams fixture this year.
One of those
stud.
Versatile guys who does a lot of different things.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out, how this the makeup of this roster, this 54-man roster, plays out come Sunday at 1 o'clock. Patriots and Bills as they kick off the season. And be sure to check out Patriots.com for all your game day coverage, post-game coverage, and everything else. Next week, Patriots in PFW in progress, and also the Patriots roster report again next Friday. That is going to do it for this edition of the Patriots roster report. Let's send it back to Lauren.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for an all-new Ross Report podcast. Remember to check Patriots.com for all the latest information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!